Let's take our scriptures now and turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are reading verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. Beloved, hear now the reading and then the exposition of His Word. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. And that is the word of the Lord. Remember in chapter 5, Paul brought a word of rebuke against allowing the sin of incest to continue because of their arrogance and jealousy. He's covered their then wrongful lawsuits before the world instead of before the church. But now he goes back to look at the more general sins of sexual immorality that started when he began talking about incest. And in verses 12 and 13, Paul lists two slogans the Corinthians often said that he had heard. And he responds three times to these two different slogans. The first slogan from the Corinthians is very close to how many view things in Christ Church today. In the view of antinomianism. They say, all things are lawful for me. Because I'm a Christian. Galatians 5, we read that this morning, they misread that, misinterpret that, and that there is freedom in Christ. Because I'm a Christian, all things are lawful, is their thought. Instead of living as forgiven, holy, righteous believers, they have indulged themselves in sexual and social sins. Instead of submitting to Christ's rule, they condone sin. But Paul responds, but not all things are profitable. Not everything is helpful to yourself. Not everything is helpful to your neighbor. He repeats their slogan again, but then he responds with, but I will not be mastered by anything. It's not just anything that will have authority over me. Not everything can have authority over me. Only Christ can have authority over me. And anyone who Christ says has authority over me. But only Christ has authority over me. Only Christ is my master. And so sin will not be master over him, and it should not be over the Corinthians, he's saying. The second slogan from the Corinthians is, food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And so here's a specific thing that he's talking about, taking it from the more general. All things are lawful for me. That is the partaking of food. Now that slogan, it's true. Food is for the stomach. Stomach is for food. And Paul adds a qualification to it in his response. But God will do away with both of them. Both food and stomach are temporal. They lack permanence. And so you should treat them as such. Further, Paul continues attacking their sin. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Their sexual appetite should not be identified with an appetite for food or drink. God created our bodies not for sinful pleasure, but for His glory. He formed it in His image after His likeness in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Not for sexual immorality, not for sin, generally. But what did the Corinthians do? They flaunted their freedom in Christ as a license to indulge in eating and drinking, being drunk, and being gluttons, and then also sexual immorality. Today's church, we see often people flaunting that same freedom for the indulging in the various types of sins that we see in the world today. But our body being the Lord's, the Lord being for our body, our physical bodies created by God, yet stained by sin, will at death descend to the grave. And yet our bodies, He is saying here, have been redeemed. It's not just our souls, not just our hearts, but our bodies have been redeemed by Christ and will be raised just as His body was raised. And thus the Lord claims our body belongs to Him. He bought it with a price. He bought it with a price. That's the language of redemption. With the price of His own blood. Verse 14, now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Verse 15 and following deal with the sin of prostitution through 17. And He's saying our bodies are members of Christ. We have that intimate relationship with Him. Will you, however, make your bodies a members with a prostitute? And He says, the strongest no possible, and the Greek, may it never be. Prostitution, the word is the one closely linked to fornication, sexual immorality. In the Greek, it sounds like pornography. In their culture, such things were acceptable practices, just as they are acceptable in our culture. And so again, here is the contrast between the sacred fellowship the believer has with Christ and the sinful lust of the person who has relations with a prostitute. This again, our marriages point to the relationship between Christ and the church. The two shall become one flesh. Desire then to be one spirit with Christ. Not a prostitute. Not the things of this world. Join yourself by faith to the Lord, being one spirit with Him. Turn off, put off the sin of this world, not only the sexual sins, but all sin. Don't be prostitutes and harlots with those sins like they think of the book of Hosea. Rather, we are to be cleaving to Christ, just as husbands leave their parents and cleave to their wives. Verse 18, flee immorality. Run from it. Such sexual immorality you're committing to your own body. Don't you know that your body, Christian, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, He says, who is in you, is present with you. And so when you take on such sins, you're quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit. Do you not know that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. You've been adopted into God's family. And so the call is to glorify God with your body. Oftentimes throughout the Scriptures we're being called to, in our minds and our hearts, to honor the Lord. And here, our body's no different. We are not Gnostics who only focus on the spiritual. Here these Corinthians have indulged in sexual immorality, and so He calls to them. The call comes to them, which means it's not too late for yourselves to turn to Jesus and cleave to Him for salvation, because He's calling the Corinthians to do the same for deliverance from these sins and comfort in your soul as one with Christ, who has Christ by His Spirit in their hearts. Even though you've gone into these sins, all of us have in our, at least our thoughts, words, deeds. Just as he calls the Corinthians who were Christians, and yet falling into these sins, he's calling you back to him. Cleave to Christ. For that is where salvation lies. That is where your comfort lies. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this word. We know that we have committed such sins. We know that we have lusted in our hearts. We know we have sinned in many and various and sundry ways. We have turned from you. Even as your people, we have turned from you. And we thought that the things of this world are greater than the things of you and of your glory. And so, Father, forgive us of our sin. Turn us from our sin. Cause us to hate that sin, these sins, the many that we have committed. And Lord, know that as we ought to tremble over our sin because we come before a holy God, and yet we come also at the same time to a God who is gracious and merciful. A God who sent His Son to die for those sins we've committed and the sins that we have yet to commit. Every single one that we have and will do. His body was given, His blood shed. We were bought with a price. The unrighteous made righteous. And so, Father, we plead with you to forgive us and show your mercy. We're not deserving of it. We are deserving of what we just read in Revelation 19 of having birds consume our flesh. And yet, Father, to us you have given your Son. And so see his life, his death, his resurrection for us. Father, we confess today that we have not cared about our bodies as much as we ought to. We confess that we have not thought upon the reality that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit and that you are present with us. We confess that we have brought upon our bodies great sin. And yet, Father, we see your mercy here because you brought your word to people who were entrenched in these sins of the body in Corinth. And so if these people were entrenched in these sins, Father, how much more should we have great comfort that you brought the word to us this day? That you're calling us to repent and you're calling us to seek your face. And Father, we know that as your Son gave up his body on the cursed tree for our sin, so you will, as he rose from the dead, so you'll raise our bodies up on the last day to join with that great army. And Father, what great assurance we have that those who come confessing their sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Not some unrighteousness, but all unrighteousness. All sin. All transgressions. And so, Father, we ask that you would do so today as you have promised. Pleading now in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.